What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of Down to the Wire. We're halfway through the college football season, and it's been great. Some of you know, I went to Baton Rouge this weekend for the LSU-Tennessee somewhat of a game, if you can call it that. We'll talk more on that later on. Somebody is back. Mason, welcome back, man. You survived the hurricane. You're back, man.
Yes, back to the land of the living with some internet. It feels nice. I definitely do not suggest trying to go through a hurricane. It's not fun. Although I'm sure I had a little bit more fun than you did in Baton Rouge this weekend.
Yeah, you might have. I mean, it was a rough time for sure. And there was a lot of Tennessee fans there. And I was in the south end zone, which is like basically where like the visitor section is. So pretty sure I had Rocky Top stuck in my head like all weekend after that game because they played it so many dang times. So, yeah, you know, it was just wonderful. Wonderful. But hey, like you can't really say much. Alabama didn't look super impressive against A&M. So, you know, again, we're going to get into all of it, guys. Going to get into all of it. You know, let's start before we really jump into the college football talk. Like, let's talk about this craziness in the NFL that's going on right now with these stupid roughing the passer calls. I don't know if any of you have seen it, but there were two calls this past weekend, one on Sunday with a Atlanta player just sacking Tom Brady, just like a normal sack, and they called roughing the passer. And then on Monday Night Football, Chris Jones from the Chiefs does a strip sack of Derek Carr and, you know, recover the fumble, and they called that roughing the passer as well. Like, what the heck's going on, Mason?
I don't know. I don't like the direction that they're going right now with the quarterbacks, and it's been headed this way for about 3 years now where they want to play patty cake with each other. And I was willing to write it off at first with Tom Brady because he's the GOAT, and it felt like they were just giving Tom Brady the call because you're not allowed to hit him anymore. But then the same thing happened with Derek Carr coming around the next night. It's just, I don't know what they're doing. It doesn't make any sense. This is not football anymore. They're just trying to play patty cake, like I was saying, and that's about it now.
Like, what are we expecting the defensive players to do, man? Like, are we just going to say, hey, no sacks? No sacks allowed anymore, okay? None of that. Do we need to like play flag football? Like, what are we supposed to do? I mean, like, you want players to like not, you know, go for the legs and go for the head. Neither one of those things happened. So like, what are you wanting these guys to do? Like, they get paid lots of money to go after the quarterback and get sacks, and then you're going to throw penalties on them that are like game changing type penalties. And like, you know, basically say, hey, like, just don't touch him. Cause like, yeah. The quarterback's like the one with Tom Brady, like he's trying to escape. So like, are you just supposed to let him go? Like, what are you supposed to do?
And Tom Brady landed on the guy that was taking him down too. It's not like he got thrown to the ground or anything. He landed on top of the guy that was tackling him. So, I mean, give me a break. Come on. I know it's Tom Brady, but sheesh, what are we doing?
Nah, man. Like, I'm not a big Tommy Brady fan, so anybody can sack him as much as they want. But like, that's like a game changing like call, man. Like, that's game changing. Like, the Falcons ended up not getting the ball back.
Yeah, and they started to have some momentum too. They were starting to come back a little bit, and then that happened, and then it was just over.
I mean, it's unforgivable, man. Like, and even like after the fact that the ref then like defended himself, saying that it was a fine call and all this, it's like, no, dude, like you ought to be fired. These refs are horrible at their job. Like honestly, and this might be hyperbolic, but like, just like seeing that kind of call and seeing like teams get screwed like that just made me have a flashback to the Saints Rams playoff game where the whole missed pass interference call happened in NOLA. Like, it just gave me like flashbacks. It's like, guys, like, you got to stop and actually be good at your job.
Like, if we're going to have like straight years to the Saints,
it was like two. It was like, so like, that happened, and I think the year before it was the Minneapolis Miracle with Stephon Diggs catching the ball, and safety for the Saints just like whiffed on the tackle. Like, you just tackle him and push him out of bounds, like it's still fine, like you're still probably gonna win, but like he just whiffs and Stephon Diggs houses it. So that happened the year, and then the next year was the NOLA no call. Like those are two Saints teams that were capable of winning the Super Bowl, and like on Drew Brees' like way out. And those two things happened. Like, it was like uber depressing.
And the call against the Rams was so bad that they they put in a rule for the 1 year that you could review pass interference penalties. And it still wasn't any better after that.
That was horrible, man. Like, this is like one of those things, like, if you're going to have some of these calls that are like this, like game changing or just like completely like unnecessary type stuff. Like, I'm not saying that there should be coaches challenges, but like, you gotta have like an active, like guy in the booth, like watching these games and be like, hey, that's not a flag. Like, you gotta pick that up. Yeah, like, it's different exactly. than reviewing a play. But like, if it's like a roughing the passer thing, like, honestly, like, just take these two out of it. Just look at most of the other like roughing the passer calls, and all of them are like horrible. Like, oh, he kind of touched his head a little bit. Oh, he just kind of got shoved a little bit. Like, oh, he literally just threw the ball and got hit. Like, like, it's been so bad in the NFL. Like, college is like kind of ticky tack. Like, sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. Every once in a while you might get like the horrible call, but like, it's pretty, like, it's usually pretty good. Like, NFL is like, it is the worst I have ever seen every single week. Like, yeah. I don't see how like you can get it this bad at this kind of thing.
And they're holding these players and coaches accountable for all their actions, and it's time to start doing the same for the refs. Like, the refereeing has gone downhill for a while now, and it's just, I don't know what they're doing, man. They need to get their crap together.
Need to get it together. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. And then the NFL will then fine players and coaches for talking bad about the refereeing. Like, come on.
Exactly. Like,
they did a horrible job, and they don't get fired for it. They're just like, mm-hmm. okay, maybe you might not, you know, do it in the postseason. Who gives a crap? They still have basically a free job in the fall every year, man.
And they're still reffing in the postseason, they're still too. It's reffing. Not like they're getting penalized or anything. They're still doing it.
It's so bad, man. It's so bad. Gosh. Okay. Anyways, let's go ahead. And really, there's like two games we probably really care to talk about. Before we get into those two games, are there any others you kind of want to bring up from last week in college football that you want to talk about? I mean, Oklahoma got housed by Texas.
Frauds.
Oh, my gosh. One, okay, Oklahoma's frauds. But two, like, Texas looks legit, dude, with Quinn Ewers. Like, if they didn't have two losses, if they didn't like lose to Texas Tech on the road, man, like, that's like playoff material, man.
Even that, there are two losses so far, Alabama and Texas Tech, right? So the Alabama loss, Quinn Ewers gets hurt in the first quarter and doesn't finish the game. You can kind of put the loss on that, because the way he was playing, they probably win that game if he finishes. And then going to Texas Tech is still Hudson Card. Quinn Ewers not playing. So when Quinn Ewers has been out there, they've been just smoking teams.
Yeah, and the two losses are by a combined of what, like 4 or 5 points?
Yeah.
Like, they got beat in overtime against Texas Tech by a field goal, and they lost to Bama by like 1 or 2 on a last-second field goal. So, like, they're right there in both of those games. And they go and do what they did to Oklahoma, which has never happened in that series.
That was
like,
bad.
House them. Like, not even close. I remember we were in the stadium as the game was going on, and I just kind of like looked at the scoreboard like thing, and I saw it was like 28-0. I was like, holy crap, what is going on?
Yeah,
absolutely insane.
So let me ask you this. How quickly does Brent Venables end up on the hot seat?
I mean, I think he's kind of on the hot seat right now, but I don't think it's realistic for him to be.
Okay, so what if, let's say Matt Rhule just got fired by the Panthers. Would you take Matt Rhule right now over Venables?
I mean, I would, but like, I don't think Oklahoma can afford to do that. Yeah. Like, I don't think like they're just going to get rid of Venables after year one. If this was like year two for him, like next year, if he has like the same results next year, like absolute hot seat. Because like, they're going into the SEC like the year after that, basically, more than likely. So like, if like, they can maybe take their lumps this year, and if they start taking lumps again next year, then you got to fire him. But like, I don't see Oklahoma hiring this guy and then firing him year one. Like, I just don't think that'll happen.
I think the problem is you can't take too many lumps. So this is back to back blowouts, man. They haven't scored in 2 straight games. So at this point, you're walking a really tight rope right now with Venables. And so I agree what you're saying. Like, he's probably already getting on the hot seat, but I don't think they'll fire him. But it has to go up from here. It can't keep going down.
I mean, I think it will. I mean, just look. So, like, let's talk Auburn real quick. Somehow Brian Harsin still has a job. I think we're both thinking he's probably fired after this week going into the bye week. The problem at Auburn with it being year two is that, one, they look horrible on the field, and then off the field recruiting isn't going well at all. When you look at Oklahoma, like, on the field, it doesn't look good. But in recruiting, like, right now they have the number six overall recruiting class. So, like, at least they're recruiting and they're looking to get players. So I think that's the big difference here between Oklahoma and what's happening at Auburn and some other places is that, one, it's year one. I don't know what, like, you can, like, Oklahoma, you lost tons of players in the transfer portal. You lost your starting quarterback. You lost a lot of other guys in the transfer portal. With Venables coming in with a completely new defensive system, that they just don't have the players on defense to be able to run it. And then, two, they've had injuries on offense and all this kind of stuff. So, like, I don't, like, you're going to take your lumps year one because of that. But, and, you know, I would probably more understand if he would possibly be on the hot seat if, like, he had kind of like an Auburn recruiting class, like in the 30s, 40s. But I mean, he's like top 10 right now, and they're looking pretty good. I mean, if I'm just looking at the recruiting rankings right now, their hard commits right now, they have a 5-star quarterback, a 5-star edge player, a 4-star wide receiver, 4-star tackle, 4-star safety, 4-star athlete. I mean, they got some dudes that are committed right now. So I know probably a lot of Oklahoma fans are probably panicking. I mean, I've seen it online in some various groups on Facebook of people obviously wanting to take their shots at Oklahoma because they're down. That's what people love to do, but some Oklahoma fans kind of freaking out. But like, obviously you just got beat by 50 by your biggest rival. I understand the melting. I've been there, but like, let's step back. It's been a couple of days since the game happened. You know, let's take a step back, look at the view, say, hey, you know, it's year one. Don't really like where we're going right now, but we got a good recruiting class coming. Let's see what it looks next year. And if next year you get some of these same results, man, then, oh yeah, he's on the hot seat, and he could even be fired by the end of next year if you have the same thing going on.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't know what the contract looks like, but you know, that could also alter some things. But
I'd have to imagine it's pretty hefty. So I agree with that. So let me throw this at you. Last week you were talking about two coaches that you liked for the Auburn job. It was Hugh Freeze and Lane Kiffin, right?
Yeah.
All right. I like both of those names for Auburn for sure. I think the problem that I'm having with Auburn right now is I feel like Hugh Freeze and Lane Kiffin are kind of a sideways move in ways that they're like similar coaches to what they've been kind of going after lately, if that makes any sense. Like, when I think about how Auburn was playing when they were playing for Gus Malzahn, it was like they were always inconsistent, but there was always life to what they were doing with Auburn. Like, they, for some reason, they were always up for big games. The crowd was always into it. And with Harsin, it's just like kind of fallen off. I think if you're going after a guy right now, you got to bring back the juice to the program. And I think the guy to do it is Deion Sanders.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to bring up Deion.
It's time, bro. Here's my argument with it. You got to, if you're bringing somebody in, like I said, you got to bring somebody in with juice. And also, you got to bring somebody in that's going to be able to recruit right now with Georgia and Alabama. And Lane has kind of been doing it. He's been kind of teetering that line. We don't know what Hugh Freeze is going to be doing recruiting-wise because he's at Liberty. But you just saw last year, Deion Sanders was able to convince the number one recruit in the nation to come to Jackson State.
Was he able to do that, or was NIL money able to do that?
It's Jackson State. Are you telling me that none of these other teams can convince the number one recruit in the nation that they can pay them more money?
I understand. I just have a really, really hard time believing that Auburn is going to make and basically live or die by hiring primetime. Like, I think you kind of have to at this point, right?
So my argument with it is like, do you want to just take another shot on a coach that's like Hugh Freeze? He is another Hugh Freeze, another Gus Malzahn, or do you want to actually take a shot at somebody who can potentially actually bring you out of the gutter instead of just keeping you on the fence?
Listen, I'll say this.
4 more years.
I'll say this in defense of Hugh Freeze and Lane Kiffin. Like, when it comes to Hugh Freeze in particular, what he did at Ole Miss when it comes to recruiting and when it comes to winning is far superior than anything that Gus Malzahn did before, at, and after Auburn. Like, I know he took Auburn to a national championship game, but no, yeah, like,
come on.
Like, I'm telling you, it's much harder to win and do what you do at Ole Miss than it is what Gus Malzahn did at Auburn. It just is.
Yeah, but what did Hugh Freeze ever actually do at Ole Miss except for beat Alabama a couple times?
He beat Alabama a couple times.
Exactly what, like, Gus Malzahn did.
What are you expecting an Ole Miss program to do?
Yeah,
but what do you expect? So, like, the difference between Hugh Freeze and Gus Malzahn is that Hugh Freeze won at Ole Miss, recruited at a very high level at Ole Miss, and had them competing for SEC West championships. They never won it, but no Miss has never won anything. Auburn has the history. Auburn has had the talent. Auburn has always had the resources. Auburn has exactly what you need to be able to win, something that you will never have at Ole Miss. And Lane Kiffin's finding that out right now. You're not able to recruit at a high level at Ole Miss. Lane's figuring that out. You don't have the resources. Like, you're just never going to win at a high level at Ole Miss. It's never going to happen. So, like, you can have the seasons like Lane had last year and the year before, really good seasons with really good players, but, like, you're just never going to have the depth that you need to actually win anything. And so the fact that those two coaches have done what they've done at that kind of program shows and proves to an athletic director that's like, okay, well, if we give them the keys to an Auburn, if we give them a keys to an Ohio State, if we give them a keys to a Florida, they'll take off and run with it and prove that they can actually do it. I feel more confident, I think, on the recruiting aspect of a Hugh Freeze more than a Kiffin. Because I think Hugh Freeze is a little bit more, he gets after recruiting more than Lane does. I think Lane is more of a, hey, I just want to do X's and O's and I'll try and hire some guys to do the recruiting part for me. I think that that leans a little bit more Hugh Freeze, which is why I would pick him over Lane personally. But to me, you can't go wrong. And I just find it hard. Like, I've heard Deion Sanders mention, I just find it very hard to believe that Auburn would actually pull the trigger on him.
I don't know. See, to me, it feels like Auburn.
It's a bold move. It's a bold move for sure. The one thing that I'll give
Lane
Kiffin,
like, they're meant for each other at this point.
If anybody's meant for each other, honestly, I think it's Lane Kiffin because of how much he loves to take shots at Saban and Bama. Like, I think that's a match made in heaven when it comes to that kind of thing, because I think Auburn and all their fans would, like, fall in love with that kind of stuff, honestly. Like, it just kind of fits that, but.
Now think about that, and then now add in Deion Sanders, who literally almost just got in a fight with another coach last weekend. So, like, you triple what Lane is giving you with Deion Sanders. I don't know. If I had to put those in order, I would probably go Lane, Deion, Hugh Freeze.
And we haven't even brought up Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule. What do you think on Matt Rhule? Do you think is an option for Auburn? Do you think he's even a good option for Auburn, or what? Because he's going back to college. He's not getting another NFL.
Yeah, I don't think he'll get another NFL. The thing I'm wondering is if he's going to take a year off. Because a lot of times when you see these NFL guys kind of get fired after that, they normally sit back, take a year off, and then take a job the year after that. So I'm wondering if he's going to do that. If he doesn't, I mean, I could see him at Auburn. I mean, he was awesome while he was at Baylor. So if you can recruit and do good things at Baylor, he's going to smash it at Auburn if that happens.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I can see that. I mean, like you said, I wouldn't be surprised if he does take a year off. Right now, with how the openings are, there's only two jobs that I could even see him taking, and that's Nebraska and that's Auburn. I don't know if Auburn's really interested, though, is the only thing.
Do you think he would go for Wisconsin?
I don't think so, no. I think Wisconsin is going to be content either going for the Kansas head coach or keeping with Leonard, the defensive coordinator, who's the interim now. I think those are their two options. I think they're doing, like, the whole interim thing with Jim Leonard right now is if you do well in the interim, this is your job. And if not, then they're going to throw a buttload of money at Leopold at Kansas. I think those are their two. I think that's what they're down to. I think they've already made up their mind. Now, whether, you know, Nebraska comes in with more money and gets the Kansas coach and then, you know, Wisconsin then decides, okay, well, Leonard isn't the guy, then it could get interesting. Maybe they do try to get Matt Rhule, but I don't think he'll go. I just don't think he'd go for that. Honestly, I think he'd probably wait for a bigger job.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too. That's why I kind of think he'll take a year off.
Yeah, I mean, take a year off. Who knows what places will be open next year? But obviously, the year isn't over yet. So who knows what else is going to come up? Because I mean, you also got Colorado's open, who used to be a power, and you know who knows what all else could come up. So another game that I kind of want to mention a little bit before we get into the two big ones. Utah got basically destroyed by UCLA. The final score doesn't show how bad it was, but UCLA dominated that game against Utah. We hadn't really talked much at all about UCLA either in the season preview or, you know, really much in the season at all. Kind of talked about them a little bit last week. But man, they look impressive, man. They look really good and beating a really good Utah team.
Yeah, I definitely didn't see this coming out of UCLA. And it also definitely killed our Utah in the
in
the playoffs.
Yeah, that one's dead now. Yes.
We took an L on that one in the preseason. But yeah, UCLA kind of coming out of nowhere. It's good to see because Chip Kelly's just always been a fun guy to watch and kind of root for some reason, at least for me. But yeah, I mean, I like their quarterback. Dude's been balling out. So they've been fun to watch.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah, he's been really fun to watch. And like you said, it's always kind of good to see Chip Kelly get those flashbacks of those fun Oregon teams. So I think we all kind of were hoping that he'd maybe turn around at UCLA. And it seems like he's doing it because they're probably one of the favorites now to win the Pac-12. If they stay undefeated, hey, that could be the Pac-12 shot at a playoff. Who knows how good they do in the playoff, but I mean, hey, nothing's impossible there. So that was
really, their fans won't travel.
Oh yeah, no, there won't be any. There won't be any there. There'll be a bunch of bad bandwagons. Let's put it that way. There might be a lot of bandwagons there. okay, two more that I just want to bring up real quick. Our beloved Kansas Jayhawks took their first L this weekend, and apparently it's not just a Cam quarterback curse. Mason is now in on the action. I guess have a podcast curse on quarterbacks.
You passed it on to me.
I did, man. Yeah, so the Kansas quarterback got hurt. In this one, and they only lose by 7, so the backup did pretty good. It was a really good game. I didn't get to watch any of it, really, but from what I've heard, it was a really good game, and Kansas comes up just short against a really good TCU team.
Yeah, I hated it for him because he went out, I think it was right before the half, and obviously he didn't come back in the second half, and I would like to think that if he is playing in the second half, that maybe they pull it out, but I don't know. They're our new darlings, so
they were, man. They were. They're our boys, and they let us down. And then last game that I want to kind of just mention before we get into everything of the LSU games, Mississippi State housed Arkansas. Now, Arkansas was without KJ Jefferson, and you see what happens to them when they don't have them. They are hot garbage, the Arkan frauds. And Will Rogers and Mississippi State keep rolling, man. They're rolling on, and they're looking pretty scary. What did you think on that one?
I am so disappointed in Arkansas. I guess I'll go ahead and throw that out.
Yeah, no, yeah, your 10-2 didn't work out, man. 10-2 didn't work out.
I put so much stock in some of the transfer portal guys that they got. I was really expecting some big things out of them. And then I was also expecting a bit of a jump from KJ Jefferson, and it just didn't happen. Dude doesn't look like he threw a ball at one time in the offseason, and all he does is try and run over people, and obviously it's not working right now. So what are we doing here?
He doesn't have elite speed like Cam Newton, so like the lowering your shoulder thing can only work so often.
And he can't hit a freaking broadside of a barn if he was standing next to it either. I don't know. I like Sam Pittman though. That's my thing. Is like I feel like they're kind of going in the right direction, but it's just
their two losses have just come for like two of their three losses. Like we're not even talking Mississippi State at all because that was just a beat down, but their two other losses against A&M and against Bama came from like total collapses. Basically like you had a complete mental like lapse with KJ Jefferson jumping and trying to reach the ball from the 5-yard line. If he doesn't try and do that and they just keep possession, they win that game. And then they just completely fall apart against Bama the next week in the fourth quarter when they've got it within a score, got the backup quarterback in that hasn't played at all, and then they just like peed down their leg in the fourth quarter and just couldn't stop them. I mean, like, part of the reason why Arkansas is where they're at is because their defense is atrocious. Their pass defense is awful. They got like some good pieces in the secondary. They got a transfer corner from LSU, Dwight McLaughlin, and he was pretty good. He's not having a good season this year, and the rest of the secondary isn't either. So they're like, they're just bad.
Yeah, I agree. And it almost feels like the Texas A&M loss just kind of threw them off the rails, mm-hmm. because you're playing Alabama, you're probably going to lose that game. If you're coming off a loss going to Alabama, you don't have as much hype for the game per se. And you kind of saw that. I mean, Alabama got off to a 28-0 lead like really quick. And so it was like Arkansas was like kind of sleepwalking through the first half of the game. And then once they finally woke up, it was almost like it was too late. So you just kind of shoot yourself in the foot by some of the dumb stuff that happened to you against Texas A&M. So
yeah, and then when KJ gets a head injury and doesn't get to play, I mean, your team's basically done too. I mean, they didn't have a backup quarterback at all, really, and it showed. So, yeah, Arkan frauds, 3-3, and they go on the road to BYU, our other darling in the offseason. And that could get ugly, dude. They could go four in a row in the loss column.
I hope they don't.
That could be bad. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and let's get into this week's game. Or how am I going to go ahead and get into this week's game? Am I crazy, Mason? What's going on? Okay, let's talk first about your game, and then we'll get into the ranting and raving for me afterwards. So give me your thoughts on Alabama, Texas A&M. I mean, it was a huge line. What was it, like 27.5, I think, is what it was and what we picked it at. And Texas A&M with their backup quarterback, original starter, and Alabama with their backup quarterback in, and it's within four, and Texas A&M had a chance to win it at the end and had a terrible play call. But, you know, that is what it is. It's Jimbo. But had a chance to win at the end, and you had to hold your breath. Like, man, that's not what anybody expected. So what are your thoughts on this, man?
My thoughts is I am extremely terrified of life without Bryce Young.
yeah, we finally get to see Alabama with a mortal quarterback instead of like the monsters that it seems that they've had for the past like decade.
So our past four quarterbacks, it went from Jalen Hurts to Tua to Mac Jones and then to Bryce Young. That's going to be three first-round draft picks and a second-round pick. Like, Alabama has been blessed with like really good quarterback play for the past like 8 years or whatever it is. And so now coming into a game and it's Jalen Milroe, like, you have hope that like Nick like picked the right guy, whatever it was. And it just felt like he kind of, I don't want to say he fell flat on his face, because he still threw three touchdowns. And so I was just struggling with some of his decision-making. Like, he wasn't throwing the ball well. It just feels like he's a faster KJ Jefferson, unfortunately. but I will say one thing I was really encouraged about from the Texas A&M game and even going back to the Arkansas game is it feels like Alabama's starting to find an identity in the running game. And I felt like that was something that they were really missing in the first like three or four games. And you have Jahmyr Gibbs going for over 200 yards against Arkansas. And then against Texas A&M, it was like 150 or something like that. And so it feels like they're finally starting to establish the run a little bit, which is really going to open up things up for Bryce Young and these wide receivers who are still kind of struggling a little bit. I don't know how to feel about the fact that we just don't have a stud wide receiver right now. Like, nope. I feel like I thought by this point in the season, somebody would kind of make the jump and like really turn out to be the alpha. And it just turns out that guy is just Jahmyr Gibbs. So, which is really unfortunate. But I will say like that has been encouraging, is that the run game has actually kind of proved itself a little bit. Another thing I'm worried about is, I mean, like, it's our pass defense has still been hot garbage for the past couple of weeks. And we got lucky that Will Anderson and the D-line was able to get a lot of pressure on Haynes King this week. And I feel like the fact that Texas A&M's offense was as bad as it was is kind of the reason why we were able to actually pull this game out. If they were able to get anything going, it would have just been a hot mess to see Jalen Milroe try to come back and pull the game out of his butt. So I'm hoping we see some Eli Ricks at some point, but I don't know if it's going to happen.
Eli Ricks. Did he apparently posted on Instagram today or something, like removed like all of his Alabama stuff and posted like a picture of himself with LSU gear on. Like, one, the dude is like just like an attention whore, but like,
yeah,
I don't envy you at all. You can have him because I don't want him.
I was so excited too. So excited. Why didn't you just knock me off my high horse?
I was just like, listen, I don't know about this guy. He's a pretty good player. He's so good that he can't even get on the field at Alabama, apparently. But yeah, man. So like, it definitely. So like, the thing with A&M is that they were able to score after turnovers. And like, the thing that Bryce was so good at is, one, like limiting the mistakes, and then he was able to find the open guy. And now, like, you feel how almost every other team in the nation feels with the quarterback, that, hey, maybe I'll make a read or two, and then like my eyes get down at the rush and I could freak out and maybe try and run. Like, that's Milroe. And like, maybe he'll become a good quarterback next year, but like, he's obviously not going to be it this year. And if he's your guy, like, this Alabama team isn't going to go where they want him to go at all. So like, it's imperative that Bryce gets healthy, and who knows when that's going to be. Like, we don't know if it's going to be this week against Tennessee. I know you're hoping that he is, but like, that's not even a guarantee. And if he's not, like, Tennessee's going to roll, because A&M, with as bad of an offense as they were, I mean, yeah, they got a couple turnovers, but they still had to drive the ball and score touchdowns. They really scored 20 against Alabama on the road with a horrible quarterback. Not really many, you know, weapons on the outside. They have some, you know, young guys that are starting to emerge a little bit. Basically, not much of a running game. Like, when you're playing a Tennessee offense that's second in the country in scoring, like, it's going to be scary. So, like, there's a lot to be happy with, in the sense of, like, Will Anderson and the D-line's really good, and they'll get after the passer. But kind of like you said, like, that pass defense, I mean, you only gave up 20, so you can't be super upset. But still, that's a really bad A&M offense with their backup quarterback who lost his job, who wasn't really known as a big passer, who has probably the ugliest throw motion for a quarterback I've ever seen in my life.
Ooh, yeah, it's disgusting.
Like, it's bad. So yeah, man, like, if Alabama can't take care of the ball, like, you're scary. And one thing that I kind of want to ask, or maybe not even ask, but just kind of bring up, is, you know, you were talking about, like, it's really nice to see Alabama seem to be able to run the ball more. The question I would ask is that just because they're having to commit to running the ball because they don't have Bryce, or is it because they are actually getting better at running the ball? Like, I think they are getting better at running, but like, I don't think they really have a choice. And when Bryce comes back, then I think it's going to go back to the, hey, we're just going to throw the ball like 80% of the time. And if we run the ball, that's nice, but that's not really a big deal for us. Like, obviously, I don't know, you don't know, but like, obviously, they probably could have run the ball a little better before, and like, now they just have to because of who's at quarterback.
Yeah, like, yes and no. I agree with kind of what you're. I agree with what you're saying a little bit. The thing that I noticed was, it almost felt like the first like 3 or 4 weeks they were kind of holding back Jahmyr Gibbs, if that makes any sense. Like, you saw a lot of Jace McClellan in the first like 4 weeks. You saw some Roydell Williams in the first 4 weeks. Like, it just felt like they were kind of handicapping what Jahmyr Gibbs has been doing. And then once, like, against Arkansas, they just said, go, do your thing. Like, we need you, go do it. And then same thing against Texas A&M. Like, against Texas A&M, he was going, that's a really good run defense that Texas A&M has. Like, they have a good front like seven or whatever it is, and they were running it against stacked boxes too. So like, to me, when I was watching it, and Jahmyr Gibbs is still popping off like a 6 yard run, 5 yard run, 7 yard run, like whatever it is, like it looks a lot more different now than it did in like week two against Texas, when there was essentially nothing there.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I agree with that for sure. The one thing is that you still only score 24 points. So running game is better. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you still only score 24 against, you know, a pretty good A&M defense, but they're super young. So like, you should just be able to take advantage of that and run them down. But,
and I'll say this about that. Like, you have 4 turnovers and 2 missed field goals. Like, you're not really helping yourself out in the point department when you're doing that. Like, even if you just add on the 2 field goals that you missed, like, that's 30 points. I mean, I'm happy if you put up 30 points against a really good defense like that, and then cut down half the turnovers, and it's a completely different game.
Sure. Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it was a really good game, one that we didn't expect. And so,
yeah,
I'm sure, you know, you didn't enjoy that aspect of it. I know Courtney really didn't like it either. She was basically on the edge of her seat at the end. But I enjoyed watching a good football game for once, because I did not get that earlier in the day. So let's get into it.
So let me ask you this.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me ask you this. It's a solid transition. Have you apologized to CBS yet?
No, and I will not. I will never. I am not apologizing for that. But let me just tell you about my day, Mason, okay? So we drive down to Baton Rouge on Friday afternoon, get there kind of late Friday afternoon. And so whenever we get there, my dad's like, yeah, we're going to have to get up early, which we all kind of knew. But then we found out how early we're going to have to get up and leave where our Airbnb is. We got up at 5:40 to leave the house by 6:15 to be able to get on campus in time to get a free parking spot for an 11 a.m. kick. Like, you're telling me. So, like, we kind of chilled and had our Chick-fil-A and had some mimosas and stuff as our little, you know, pre-tailgate type thing. But, like,
yeah.
And so, like, the team and the band walked down Victory Hill at, like, 8:50. So, like, we basically go from, like, eating breakfast to then walking across campus to get a good spot and then somewhat going and seeing Mike and all that kind of stuff. But then going back to our place to be able to get there in time and chill. So, like, you basically get up and go straight there. And then, like, from there, you know, you go in the stadium and it's, like, not even noon. Like, don't get me started. I will still go off. I don't care if it was a good game or not. The Auburn Georgia one wasn't a good one. It was worse to me than the Tennessee LSU one. But, like, I'd rather have the 2:30 game than the 11, and that's what we should have had. But still, like, let's get into the game. First, before I just, like, I will go off. Let me hear what you think about the game, and then I'll get into it.
So I unfortunately didn't get to tell you my thoughts before the game, and I was going to hammer Tennessee for this game because I really believe in what Tennessee's offense can bring to the table. And what I was worried about is if LSU gets down by more than two touchdowns or more right now, it's almost like it's going to be a really big struggle for them to come back on, because the quarterback play right now, like, Daniels is putting up nice numbers. It's just like you were saying earlier, is one read and take off and run. If the one read isn't there, which it can work, but it's not going to work against the high-powered offenses right now. So I was expecting Tennessee to come out and win. I don't know about a blowout, though. And it just felt like LSU didn't do a good job of preparing for the game, actually. Which brings me to, I wanted to ask you, like, well, actually, I'll ask you this. Let me hear your thoughts first, actually.
Okay.
I'll ask you after.
Okay. So I'm going to preface this by just giving a little backstory here. LSU lost their starting offensive tackle, left tackle, Will Campbell, true freshman, phenom, who's been the starting left tackle since spring practice. So, like, he was there for three or four practices. Like, oh, yeah, he's starting left tackle. That good. Okay. He goes down with an episode at walkthroughs on Friday night, like, had to bring EMS and ambulances into Tiger Stadium and cart him and take him to the hospital because of what we're assuming is some sort of seizure or some sort of episode like that. So, like, that happens Friday night before the game, and you have a complete shuffle of what you're going to do in the offensive line. So, like, that already, you don't have a great offensive line to begin with. You then take off your best player to start the game, along with the emotional toll that goes on your players by seeing one of their guys go down like that. One, that doesn't help. Two, in, like, first quarter, then your next best offensive line player, Garrett Dellinger, who is already dealing with a cast on one of his hands from breaking his hand a couple weeks ago, he then goes down with a knee injury. So now you're down your two best offensive line players, both of which on the left side. So you're having to fill in guys there. So that doesn't help. But going into the game, I was sitting in South Stadium, so I had a perfect view of the opening kickoff. I don't know if any of you saw this. I don't know how I haven't watched the game on the TV replay. I probably will and hate myself for doing it, but I haven't watched it yet. But before the kick even starts, Besh is on the, if you're facing the receiving team, he's on the left. And then right before he kicks, they then swap places because they see he's going to kick it to the right. And then so like he's moving over and then he kicks it. And so as he's moving over, then he's having to come up because it's a short kick. And then he muffs it and it's freaking over. Game's over at that point. Yeah.
So they talked about that on the broadcast, and they were talking about how Tennessee actually kicks it to both sides.
Yeah.
Literally half the time, 50-50, they'll kick it right or they'll kick it left. And LSU was wanting Besh to be on the opposite side of where they thought it was going to go. And so obviously.
Yeah. I mean, even like Brian Kelly talked about it in his press conferences leading up to the game, how they're kicking, you know, like you said, you know, half the time they kick left, half the time they kick a right, they might kick it short. They're super versatile in where they kick the ball and the kickoffs. So, like, I mean, he made it to the ball. He just dropped it. And then Tennessee recovers and scores five points later. You then go 3-and-out. Punt the ball, really good punt. Like it was like a 60 plus yard punt. And then they return it 58 yards, basically to where they had the ball to start off with the last series. And they get a field goal. You spot them basically 10 points in special teams. Like the special teams have been a joke this year. It's been unacceptable. It's cost you games. It cost you against Florida State. It cost you against Tennessee. You can say, Tennessee won by like 30 points. You spot them 10 points at the beginning of the game, you aren't going to win. And that's special teams. They didn't even have to move the ball after the punt return, and they got a field goal. So, like, that special teams, you dig yourself in the hole. You're in a hole, okay, fine. Let's see if we can dig out of it. To your point, LSU has been down 13 and 17 points against Auburn and Mississippi State and were able to come back and win those games. So they have shown the ability. They are a second-half team. They've shown it all year. You get the game close in the fourth quarter. They found ways to win the game. And so that's kind of what I was hoping for. I know I picked LSU in the picks last week. The spread was 3.5. I didn't think they would absolutely win. I thought it would probably be, okay, maybe Tennessee might win a field goal, win by a couple points. They'll probably pull it out some way. No one in Baton Rouge, nobody on radio, nobody that I have ever listened to thought that this outcome would happen. Nobody thought about it. And it happens because your special teams in the first quarter spots 10 points. You then drop passes. That could be conversions. Bouti on the second drive of the game gets a slant pass right in his hands. It may be a little bit behind him, but he catches that ball. There's tons of room for him to work afterwards, even if he doesn't get any room afterward yards after that. It's a first down. You keep the drive alive. So. Got to punt the ball again. You give up another field goal. Then, you know, you go for it on fourth down and don't get it a couple of times. I mean, they were 0-for-3 on fourth down. And then at the end of the half, I mean, you score a touchdown. You look good. They miss a field goal. You get the ball back with like a minute left. You're feeling good about yourself. And I'm thinking there in the stadium I see is like, okay, if we can just get some points here, feel good about ourselves going into half, we'll have a game in the second half and you know, we might find a way to get back in the game. And then again, another mistake. Jane Daniels throws a really good pass over the middle to a skinny post to Jere Jenkins, your senior wide receiver, who has been the most consistent guy on the team all year, and he drops it. If he holds on to that football, it's a touchdown. And you're down 20-14. And there's like 30 seconds left. You're feeling good about yourself. You drop that ball, and then what happens after that? What happens after that? You go, I think, two more plays. You go for it on fourth and 10, and then you get sacked on that play. You basically set up another field goal for Tennessee. They kick a field goal. It's 23-7 going into halftime. And the game's over because they get the ball to start the second half, and they score. I mean, it's over. LSU had their opportunities early. I mean, there's a play that Jane Daniels had where he completely missed a wide open Kayshon Booty on a post route that if he just throws the ball, it's a touchdown. Wide open. One-on-one with the corner, it just runs by him like easy. Like it's like he's not even having defense out there at all. You throw the ball, it's a touchdown. Instead, he just gets happy feet and moves out of the pocket and runs. It's kind of like we talked about. the issues aren't all on Jaden Daniels. The offensive line didn't help. You couldn't run the ball. You ran for 55 yards. The defense gave up over 200 yards rushing. And special teams screwed you. And then, like, some of the fourth down calls, man, like, just some of them are mind-boggling. I was okay with maybe the first two. The last one at the end of the half when they went for it on fourth and 10. Man, I was thinking there, man, like, just punt the ball, man. Like, you're not going to get the first down probably. It's fourth and 10. Like, go ahead and punt the ball, pin them deep. Don't give them a chance to score again. And, like, let's just live with being down 20-7 and maybe come out and do something. But when you do that and they get the field goal, for all intents and purposes, the game's over. Like, that stretch right there, the drop pass by Jure, and then the sack, and then giving up the field goal in the half. Like, your game's over. You're not coming back. And it was miserable to watch the second half because you knew it was happening. The offense couldn't move the ball still, couldn't run the ball. And then wide receivers had drops. Jalen missed open wide receivers. I mean, it literally was, you played as bad as you could play. You still had a chance, even though you played so poorly, that, hey, maybe you can make it a game. And then because you didn't, you're playing a really good team and they just housed you in your own house. Special teams coordinator. I mean, he's a really good recruiting guy, but, like, I'm at the point right now where I don't want him back at all. Like, get a new special teams coordinator because it's not working right now. It's just not.
All right, so my question for you was, so what are your expectations for this LSU team for the rest of the season? And, like, what were they coming into the season? Because for me, like, I kind of expected LSU to be a frisky team, but still probably lose like four games, give or take. So I wanted to know, like, kind of where you were beginning of the season and where you are now going into it.
Yeah, I mean, beginning of the season, a lot of thought for me and around the Baton Rouge media and everything was the range was anywhere between 7-5 and 9-3. 9-3 being a great year, 7-5 being okay. So like anywhere between that range is kind of where we were. And, you know, I was also kind of thinking, like, I mean, it's going to be an up-down year. Obviously, we're not going to win the conference. We're not going to win the division, but let's see how good we compete. Season starts, you lose a heartbreaker against Florida State. Then everybody's expectations if you look at the message board, is like, oh, we're not going to win another game. We're going to win four games or three games or whatever, you know, the overreaction there. But, I mean, everybody's preseason expectations were assuming they would beat Florida State. And so then you go, anybody that thought they were 9-3 goes down to 8-4. Anybody who thought they would be 8-4 goes down to 7-5 and so forth. But then you kind of see the team improve against Southern, and then you beat a really good Mississippi State team, which look where they're at now. I mean, you dominated that team, especially in the second half. You went against New Mexico, and then you have a comeback win against Auburn, and you're feeling pretty good about ourselves. Going into the Tennessee game, to me, it wasn't a, man, if we don't win this game, I'm going to be pissed. If we lose the game, I'm okay. Yeah. I literally just want to go see the team, play hard, have a good game. And if we lose, we lose. Tennessee's a really good football team. And if we win, that's awesome. The problem that, and if you see LSU fans just freaking out and all this kind of stuff, like, it's for good reason, because, like, nobody should be okay with losing 40-13 at home against anybody, whether it's the number one team in the country or whether it's the worst team. Like, 40-13 isn't acceptable, and it just wasn't competitive. Like, you didn't make the plays to be able to make the game competitive, and, like, that's what's frustrating. We're going to have good games and bad games, and we had a bad game against Auburn, and then we followed that up with a bad game against Tennessee. We won the game at Auburn because Auburn's horrible, but Tennessee's a good football team, and it wasn't good enough. So the main thing is we just kind of want to see, and I want to see, improvement each week. And it seemed like a little step back. Now, I will say the passing game did look improved. Jaden did let it rip a little bit more. But part of that was it was a little too little too late. And two, like, you also didn't have a running game at all because of the offensive line problems. So it's really kind of hard to judge them. But, again, it was just supremely disappointed. I mean, you're begging the fans to come out at 11 a.m. They were there. They showed up. It was a pretty good stadium. Whatever kickoff finally happened. But I mean, you just didn't give yourselves a chance because of special teams to start the game. It already took the crowd out of it immediately. And then you just couldn't get it back. And so like, it's disappointing for sure. Moving forward, like there's like to me and you can, you know, say I just have purple and gold glasses or whatever, but like there's really only one team left on the schedule that I'm going to put an automatic L to, and that's Alabama. That's the only one. Now, if Alabama doesn't have Bryce, I'm taking that automatic L off the table because the team is talented. It's a ton of freshmen, it's a ton of transfers and all this kind of stuff. It's not the best team by any chance, but when you're playing an Alabama team that has a normal quarterback, not a Heisman contender, not a Heisman winner, not a future number one NFL draft pick, and you got a good defense and you're playing at home, you're going to have a chance. But if Bryce is playing, like, it's an automatic L. But any other game on the schedule, we're talking LSU goes on the road to Florida this week, which we'll talk about. They host Ole Miss and they have a bye week. Then they host Bama. They play UAB. And the last two is at Arkansas at A&M. Both of those teams seem down. So I think the realistic record to end the year to me that's more realistic would be 8-4. I wouldn't be surprised by a 9-3, though that's really asking them to really turn it on. You're probably looking more at a 7-5, 8-4 season, which is where a lot of people thought they'd be. And that's pretty good. I mean, you just came back-to-back years of 500 losing seasons. So it's an improvement, maybe not so much in the win column, but the team does look improved. Kelly's building the program, but I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility of a potential 9-3 season and only two losses in the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, so if I'm in your position, I'm actually pretty, I don't want to say happy about like the way the season's going, because I mean, I feel like it's a bad position to ever be happy about losing, obviously, but the way that LSU has actually like competed this year, and they've shown a lot of fight and resilience in some of the big games, like you were saying against Mississippi State, like that's a really good team that you were able to actually like come from behind and beat. And so to me, like when you have a first year head coach, like you have to, the things that you look for are improvement throughout the season and a willingness to compete and actually fight for the team and the coach throughout the season. Like, I think it's completely unrealistic for anybody to expect a first-year head coach to come in and just take the SEC by storm. And I don't think anybody was expecting that out of Brian Kelly, but that's kind of like some things that you pick up from fans throughout the season where like, hey, we just got beat, so fire Brian Kelly. Like, you've heard that a couple of times already, and it's just like that's completely unrealistic. Like, the team is fighting really hard, and it seems like they're going in the right direction.
I mean, they for sure are. And I mean, it's one of those things that, yeah, they show a lot of fight, a lot of resilience. I mean, they've come back down three times. They almost pulled a rabbit out of the hat against Florida State and then did what they did against State and then did what they did on the road at Auburn. We're just going to find out a lot more about this team on the next two games are really going to be the litmus test for how good this team is, because going on the road and playing a pretty good Florida team, and it's never easy to win in the swamp, and then you're host a pretty good Ole Miss team the following week. So these next 2 weeks are imperative, and like you said, we want to see improvement. So you don't want to keep seeing the same things over and over. The things that are upsetting is special teams seems to always have issues, and there always seems to be some sort of slow start where you put yourself in a hole early. So if they can correct those things and start getting hot towards the end of the year, then, yeah, I mean, everybody's going to be pumped and excited for next season. And, again, this is LSU. There's a really good recruiting class coming in, and you've had some good transfers. So, I mean, give it year two, year three, and they'll be legit contenders. So I'm pretty happy with where it is. Again, just really disappointed with how the game went on Saturday, which, I mean, you play that game 10 times, you maybe get this kind of result maybe one other time. All the other times you probably get a close game. But, you know, it was the one where one team was ready to play. It showed that they had a bye week. They were ready to go. And Tennessee's a good football team. So, I mean, just got to tip your hat off to them. But just really disappointing for that being the result you get at home.
Yep, I agree.
All right. Well, let's that is it for last week. You know what? Like, guys, we typically talk about the AP rankings at this part of the show. Well, you know what? Screw the AP rankings, because they don't matter anymore, because we have come up with our own top 25 poll, the Down to the Wire top 25 poll, our inaugural release, Mason. We have it out now for the people. This is the one that you really need to care about, because it's also one that you can interact with us on social media or through email. This week, it's just rankings between me and Mason that we added up points, ranked them. But hey, we want your involvement too. So like, give us your rankings 1 through 25. We'll need the rankings for next week, so feel free to give us a shout on social media or via email on Sunday and Monday, and we'd love to get those rankings, compile them up together, and see what our Down to the Wire AP top 25 is with everybody. So give us those interactions. We'll post on social media when we need them. But let's go ahead and go through the list, Mason. Again, this is combined. If you want to talk about some of your rankings that you did afterwards, and why you ranked some of the teams where you did, you can, because there are some differences, and we'll get into some of those. But to start off, we're different from all the polls. We got Ohio State as our number one team, and in both of them, two first place votes. You and I agree on that. We agree with our top six. Our top six: Ohio State 1, Alabama at 2. Georgia at 3, Tennessee at 4, Clemson at 5, and Michigan at 6. We both agreed completely on those six, Mason. So what are your thoughts, just kind of general thoughts on why you ranked the teams the way you ranked them here in the top six?
Yeah, definitely feel like Ohio State has been the best team so far. Like, they started off a little slow in the first half against Notre Dame, but since then they've just been murdering teams. So the offense looks insane. I still have Alabama too, for typical reasons. I'm not as high on Georgia anymore. It's just Georgia's just kind of, the offense just has been sputtering. I don't believe in the tight end offense, basically, that they're running right now. It wouldn't surprise me if they find an L somewhere here pretty soon. I was surprised that we both had Tennessee 4. I wasn't expecting that out of you. So nice job.
You thought I was going to pull some hate and be like, oh, they just beat us. I'm not putting them top 4 in a way.
But yeah, and then Clemson and Michigan. I still want to see some competition out of Michigan. Like, they haven't really played anybody super good yet. So I'm interested to see how they do this week against Penn State.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And honestly, out of the six here, I came close probably to moving Michigan down a little further. Because like you said, they haven't played a ton of people, but also some of the teams that they have played, they seem to kind of struggle a little bit against. So they haven't been uber impressive, but I think they've been a little bit more impressive than some of the other teams that are below. But yeah, I mean, Tennessee is that good, and I wouldn't be surprised. Little preview to my pick. I won't be surprised if they win this weekend. And so I put them there. And kind of I just want to touch on what you said about Georgia not believing in the tight end offense. That's kind of what we talked about, or at least I talked about in the offseason when I talked about them, is that they don't have guys on the outside. They have good tight ends, and that's about it. And you can only go so far in this league with that being your weapon, because you're going to have guys on the outside. They're about to go on the stretch where they play Florida, Tennessee, Mississippi State, Kentucky. Like, that murderer's row in end of October and November. Like, you're going to find out a lot about this Georgia team. And if they are what they are right now, I could see one or two losses on that schedule for them, because Stetson Bennett isn't an all-world quarterback. He never was. The Heisman hype that they gave him at the beginning of the year was just fool's gold. And you're going to find out a lot about Georgia. So I wouldn't, like, right now, if we're talking just specifically SEC East on who I think is going to win the East, I'm going Tennessee over Georgia. That's my thoughts there. Let's go ahead and get into the rest of the top 10. We have quite a bit of ties in the rest of the way. We got Ty at seventh place. It's ranked seven with USC and Oklahoma State. So both of them are tied at seven. Number nine, we have Penn State. And then we have a little bit of a logjam here at tied for 10th. We have three teams tied for 10th in our poll. That is Ole Miss, UCLA, and Wake Forest. Those three are tied for 10th. And then we have another tie for 13th with TCU and Oregon. So this is where we start to get in a lot of our differences here in the rankings, as you obviously see from the ties here. Give me your thoughts on why you picked the teams you did at the spot you did, and what your surprise on some of my picks are, and what we got here.
Yeah, so for me, I kind of like, so I had USC at 7, and I think you had USC at 9, right?
Yep, so yeah, I had USC at 9.
To me, like that cluster of teams that you just named, they're all very similar in my eyes. Like they all have a couple things that they're really good at. Like USC's offense is obviously very good, but their defense is hot garbage. And I feel like that cluster of teams is all very similar in that way, where like maybe one of them has a good defense and then their offense is hot garbage. Like, so that was kind of the hardest area to rank for me. I still believe I'm actually starting to believe in USC a lot, because just Caleb Williams is a stud and you still have Lincoln Riley. Like, the combo of that to me is better than the combo of that every other team in that little cluster has. So I think that's why I'm a little bit higher on USC than you are.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. The only thing I'll say about USC is the only close game, and I guess team you can say that they played on a resume standpoint, is Oregon State. And they didn't look good against them at all, and Oregon State isn't a great team. I ranked Penn State and Oklahoma State ahead of USC, and you had Penn State at 10 and Oklahoma State at 8. But with Penn State, I ranked them at 7. So I had them even above Oklahoma State here. I have Penn State there because I think their strength of schedule is better than the other teams. Like, I mean, they went on the road and beat Purdue opening night. They went on the road and destroyed Auburn, and they've had some good wins. They look a lot more improved. They can run the ball, which has been an issue with Penn State. We're obviously going to find out how good they are because they go on the road to Ann Arbor to play Michigan. So that'll be a good litmus test for both of those. But I just think their schedule and their strength and everything has been better than the other two. And I think Oklahoma State, I can say the same thing about them regarding USC. I mean, they went on the road and beat a really good Baylor team, and they're in the Big 12, and the Big 12 just as a conference overall is just stronger than the Pac-12. And so that's kind of why I ranked them the way that I did. We're going to find out a lot about these three teams this week. USC plays on the road at Utah. Oklahoma State goes on the road to TCU, and Penn State goes on the road to Michigan. So all three of them on the road. And so there's probably going to be some shakeup there, because I would be surprised if all three of them win. So I mean, it's real close there. Some other teams that in this kind of cluster, like you said, I mean, between 7 and 15 are tied for 13 between USC and Oregon, it's just a difference of 10 points. So like, I mean, we're both all in this little cluster just picking. I mean, it's take your pick. I mean, like you said, I mean, it's all kind of jumbled up here. TCU, UCLA, and Wake Forest are tied at 10. I'm not as big on Ole Miss as a lot of other people. I mean, they escaped at home against an average Kentucky team. To me, an average Kentucky team. And they didn't look great against Vanderbilt. So I actually ranked them below. We haven't even gotten to where Mississippi State is on this list, but I ranked Mississippi State ahead of Ole Miss. So I had Ole Miss at 14. I really like Wake Forest. I think they're a really good football team. They could have beaten Clemson at home, and then they went and beat a pretty good Florida State team. So I really like Wake Forest. I had them at 10. And then UCLA I had at 11. Because they've been really impressive recently too. So talk about those three teams, Ole Miss, UCLA, and Wake Forest, and where you had them and why you had them there.
Yeah, I still have, let me pull it up. I have Ole Miss at 9. My thing right now with them is just, it's really hard to go undefeated in the SEC, and they still, like, they're still pulling it out right now. So I gave them a little bit of a bump over a couple of those teams. I'm in on Wake, like you said, as well. Just I think they're the team that's going to be able to actually compete against Clemson in the ACC. So I'm excited to see. Hopefully that comes to fruition at the end of the season. We'll see. Oregon has really caught my eye lately. After they got just absolutely dog walked by Georgia in the first season or in the first game, they've actually turned it around and actually looked pretty good since then. So I'm going to keep my eye on them. Hopefully they can keep it going and Bo Nix doesn't pull another Bo Nix and poop his pants here pretty soon. So we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, Oregon has been impressive recently. I'm not on high on Oregon as you are. I have them at 15 in mine. So I don't have them ranked up. I like TCU. I had TCU in my poll at 12. They've been really impressive. And again, it's one of those teams that's playing Oklahoma State. So we'll see how good they are there. So let's move on and let's just go through the rest of the rankings here and then just kind of talk about any other teams that we might want to talk about. To round out, we're at number 15, Mississippi State at 15 there. 16, we have Texas. 17, we have Kansas. At 18, we have Syracuse. 19, we have NC State. At number 20, we have Kansas State. At 21, we have Utah. At 22, we have Illinois. At 23, we have Kentucky. At 24, we have Cincinnati. And then round out the top 25. At number 25, we have Baylor. And then just kind of a note, we had one other team that received votes. And that was North Carolina. They were just half a point shy of tying Baylor for the 25th spot. So we have North Carolina essentially at 26 there. But Baylor rounding out the top 25. Any other thoughts on how you ranked them or how I ranked them or anything like that on the rest of the way?
Yeah, so for me, it's Texas. I had them at 18, and I kind of let the two losses influence me a little bit. I really like Texas. We kind of talked about them earlier, so I expect next week they'll kind of make a jump in my rankings. Utah, RIP. I'm getting about sick of them. But another one is North Carolina for me. So I had them at 25. I just love their offense, the way that they've been able to – the points that they've been able to produce. It's just been insane. Their defense sucks, but their offense is just so fun to watch, man. It's really a blast.
Yeah, their offense definitely is fun to watch. I had them at 24, so we're kind of right there. But, I mean, the only thing with North Carolina, I would rank them higher, but their defense is just so bad.
Yeah.
So hopefully that they improve some and we can move them up because they are fun to watch. I got a little hard to me. One, I think I ranked NC State a lot lower than you. You had NC State at 16 in your poll. I had NC State down at 22. I'm just not a believer. In NC State, they escaped against Florida State because Jordan Travis threw a ball that he should have never thrown and lost that game. They didn't look good and impressive at all against Clemson. They've just been, to me, uninspiring and unimpressive this year. And so I just have them at 22. And then I was struggling on who I wanted to put at 25. I really struggled there. I ended up putting Cincinnati at 25 for me. I didn't know who else to put there. I didn't think Kentucky was the 25th best team in the country, especially if they don't have Will Levis. They're definitely not. And they could lose again this weekend against Mississippi State. So I went with Cincinnati there. Let me check and see if there's any other kind of big differences between us. You had Texas at 18. I had them at 16. So we're kind of around the same. I think the only other big one that we had, I did have Baylor. You didn't have Baylor in yours. And then I had Illinois a little bit higher than you did. But other than that, I mean, we're fairly similar in some of our rankings other than the top. Again, you had Ole Miss at 9. I had them down at 14 behind Mississippi State. I had Mississippi State ranked 13th in my poll. So that goes to show you what I think about them. But what do you think about our first rankings, Mason? You love them or what?
Yeah, I really like our top 10. I mean, really top 15, actually, now that I look at it. Of course, the back end, it gets a little shaky, but I think we did a good job. Solid job, top 15.
Yeah, we'll see how we do. Again, guys, we want your interaction on this, okay? We don't want to just do this alone. We want your interaction. We'll grow this to be the poll of the people. Okay. That's what we want here. So when it comes to Sunday, after the games is coming Saturday, give us your picks. I'll put a post up on social media for a reminder. Give us your top 25. We love to have it, and we're going to include it. So, like, it's not just going to be our votes on this poll when we reveal it every week. It's going to be everybody's poll. And we're going to use, for us, we're going to use this poll as what our playoff preview is, because everybody's going to rank the teams that they think are going to be in the playoff. And then we're also going to use this for, hey, what if we had the expanded playoff this year? 12 teams. What would that look like in our poll? That's going to be a lot of fun. So give us your interaction. We'd love to have it. Speaking of interaction, let's go into the next one. We're going to fantasy. We want your interaction there as well. So if you want to give us a fantasy lineup to see how you match up against Mason and I and our picks, give us that in email or on social media as well. I'll make a post this coming week to get that. But tell us what happened this past weekend in fantasy, Mason. What happened?
Unfortunately, you passed your little injury bug over to me, which I don't appreciate. I want you to take that back. Now that you've got Bryce Young out of the way, you can take your injury bug back.
Hey, can I pick Bryce twice?
No, I decline. It was probably a good thing I missed last week. I was still a little pissed off at you about that. So
it would have been good for the people. It would have been good for the listens, Mason, if you were here.
So this week, you beat me 72-47.
You got wrecked.
Lost my quarterback in the first half. 1 point from him. Don't love that. So hopefully, I'm able to bounce back this week. So we are officially back even. You've won three. I've won three. We're going to get going from there. You won, so go ahead and throw your lineup at me.
All right, about to get my lineup. And again, for those who have not been with us before, standard PPR league that we're doing, okay, points per reception, points on touchdowns, all that good stuff. Couple rules that we have. When you're picking players, you can't pick the same player twice in the season. So once you pick a player, you can't pick them at all. I can't pick Bryce Young again. As much as I want to, I can't. All right. Can't pick Bryce again. You can't pick two players that are on the same team. So Mason can't pick two Alabama players this week on his team. Can't do that. Also, these teams can't be playing cupcakes, guys. All right. We got to have legit competition. They either got to be playing a Power Five or they got to play a conference game in order for you to be eligible on the roster. So I won this week, so that means I get to pick first. So with my my winning roster this week to finally get in the lead column here for the season, my quarterback, I'm going Jaren Hall, the BYU quarterback. They're playing Arkansas. Arkansas's defense and pass defense is absolute garbage, and I'm going to keep riding that quarterback who's playing Arkansas until I can't anymore. So we're going Jaren Hall. At running back, I'm going Anthony Grant, the guy over in Nebraska. He has over 600 yards rushing and I think like 5 touchdowns. He's been doing really good this season for Nebraska. At wide receiver, we were just talking about North Carolina, how fun their offense is. I'm going Josh Downs, their leading wide receiver with UNC playing Duke this week. At tight end, I'm going with Jatavion Sanders from Texas. Don't ask me to say that again, please. I'm going with him, tight end over at Texas. And then my flex, listen, I got to get a Tennessee guy in here. We're going with Brew McCoy, wide receiver over at Tennessee. I can't tell you how many times being near the Tennessee section that I kept hearing Brew every single time he caught the ball. It was really annoying. It seems like everybody has that guy, but it was really annoying, especially with how bad we were going to be. So that's my roster, guys. That's going to be the winning roster again for this week, beating Mason back-to-back weeks, taking the lead in fantasy this week. So Mason, give us your losing roster for this week and fantasy.
All right. I just want to apologize to any BYU fan out there. You're going to lose your quarterback this week because I'm not accepting the injury bug anymore. Going back to you. So for me, I'm going with DJ Uiagalelei as my quarterback with Clemson. I love what he does on the ground. I'm hoping to get some running or some rushing numbers out of him. Running back, I got to go with my guy, Jahmyr Gibbs. Hopefully he keeps his hot streak alive. Wide receiver, I'm going with Mitchell Tinsley, the wide receiver from Penn State. They got a big game against Michigan. Hopefully they throw it around the yard a little bit. For my tight end, you stole my tight end this week, unfortunately. So I had to pivot and I went with Will Mallory from Miami. Their offense has looked kind of gross, but he still gets a solid number of targets. So I don't mind it. And in my flex, I'm going with Chris Rodriguez Jr. from Kentucky. you know, they love running the ball, so I had to keep it going with them.
Okay, okay. Well, yeah, let's hope that Kentucky can still block for them to maybe get something for you here this week. So that's our fantasy rosters this week, guys. Again, I'll post it on social media. Give us your rosters. We'd love to see it. And, hey, can you beat one of us? Probably not, because my rosters are just going to beat everybody. Okay, so go ahead.
Getting it even, and you think you run the world now, huh?
Listen, I got to have the confidence in this, okay? Feel good, play good, right? Yeah, come on. Okay. All right, so... Man, that wasn't the only L you took this week, Mason. You also took the L in picks last week, man. We were tied up in our picks for the year. And then, you know, you went 5-3, 5-1, and I went 5-3-1. So I have a 2-game lead on you so far in the season for picks. Let's see if you can pick it back up now. We have a good slate of games. There's a lot of games at like 2:30. I don't like how they keep stacking all the good games at the same time. Because I can really only watch one a lot, and I can't really flip back and forth between all, like, there's like five of them at 2:30 this week. It's stupid, man.
We're broke out here. We only have one TV.
We only have one TV, okay? And I don't want to do the stupid, like, split screen, like, four games on one. Yeah. Like, I don't have a 150-inch, like, projector screen, guys. Like, come on. Got to help me out here. Okay, so what we're going to start off with is, again, the first game we always pick is usually an early week game, and this seems to be a pretty good one. Baylor going on the road to West Virginia. And again, we're picking the games against the spread, guys, not straight ups, against the spread. Give us your picks, and you'll see if you beat us. But Baylor is a 3.5-point favorite on the road against West Virginia. What do you think on this one, Mason?
Yeah, I just really like West Virginia's offense, unfortunately. I feel like Baylor's probably going to win the game, but I would go with West Virginia to at least cover, especially at home.
Okay, yeah, I get that. West Virginia's offense is really good. The only thing is Baylor has Dave Aranda, okay? The mad scientist over here, dude. I'm going Baylor to cover because I think Baylor is just really good. They're one of the top four teams in the Big 12, and I think they flex on West Virginia on the road. And you could maybe see the West Virginia coach get fired soon after that. So that's what I got. All right, next one. Again, we talked about this a little bit and whenever we were talking about our rankings, but 11 a.m. kick, Penn State at Michigan. This is a big game in the Big Ten. And listen, hey, let's kind of go back. Let's take a look in the past here whenever we were doing some of our previews. And you remember that question that I asked you about Penn State? What do you think about Penn State now, Mason? Penn State.
I think they haven't played the two best teams on their schedule yet. That's what I think.
They win the Big Ten. We'll see this week. Okay. Michigan is a 7-point home favorite. I feel like I kind of already know where you're going, but what's your pick on this one, Mason?
Well, you thought you know where I was going, but a 7-point spread I do not like, and I don't know how good Michigan is quite yet, so I'm actually going with Penn State.
Do you think they win, or do you think Michigan wins?
I think Michigan
wins.
If
we're picking straight up, okay.
If we're straight up, I would say Michigan, but I think Penn State would cover.
Okay, I think Penn State covers, and I actually think Penn State wins the game. Ooh, so I would go for Penn State all the way. 7 points in this game, to me, is crazy. I don't know why it's at 7. I would think this should be like maybe like 3.5, 2, something like somewhere in between the 2 and the 4 point range. 7 is just way too many, way too much respect given to Michigan and not enough respect given to Penn State. I'm going Penn State plus the 7, and I think they actually went out right. So let's go to the next one. And this one is also like a crazy line. I don't care if the starting Kansas quarterback is out. Their backup played pretty good against TCU, and Oklahoma looks like hot garbage. Kansas going on the road to Oklahoma, and Oklahoma is a 9-point favorite in this game, Mason. What, like, does Vegas know something we don't, or like, is this just free money if we bet?
This game is tugging at my heartstrings just because I love Kansas so much, but I think what Vegas is telling us is that Dylan Gabriel is probably going to play. So for that reason, I'm going to go with Oklahoma to have a bounce back game, even though I was trashing them earlier.
You think they're going to cover the 9 points?
I think so.
I think you're I feel insane.
I feel crazy.
I feel like you're crazy, Mason.
I feel crazy.
I got to go Kansas. I don't know if they'll win it. Again, it's Kansas. I don't want to be like, oh, Kansas is our guy. I'm going to vote for him to win every single time. I don't think they get beat by more than nine.
Nine is a lot.
Oklahoma. Nine is a lot of points for that horrible Oklahoma defense. And Kansas, as offense seems pretty good. Their defense still, like, I can't justify picking Oklahoma to cover nine. I just can't. Yeah. Even with them being at home with how poor they looked the past couple weeks, I just can't do it. So I'm going Kansas. All right, Mason, you picked this one in the preseason. So let's see if you follow through on your pick here. Okay, Alabama going on the road to Tennessee. Alabama is a 7.5-point favorite. Nobody knows if Bryce Young is going to play or not, which is big implications on who I think wins this game possibly. But in the offseason, you picked Tennessee to beat Alabama in your preview, man. Are you going to stick with your guns here? Are you going with Bama? What do you think? Bama, 7.5-point road favorite against Tennessee.
Yeah, like you were saying, offseason, Tennessee was my team that I was scared of. They were the team that I thought would pull it off against Alabama because of the stuff going on with Texas A&M. I thought Alabama would kind of slouch through the Tennessee game. I'm not picking against the Tide. Tied by 100 every week, all week, every year.
Couldn't take off the crimson and white glasses, I see. It's all good.
I will never.
But it's all good. You ain't winning by 100, I can tell you that much. You ain't going to win the game at all, I'll tell you that too. Tennessee is going to finally win. I was listening to Late Kick with Josh before we record here, and he brought up a stat. It's just crazy. Tennessee has not beaten Alabama since the iPhone has been a thing. They have not beaten Alabama since 2006, which was the year before the iPhone was an actual thing. How insane is that? I mean, you play this team every year and you haven't beaten them since the iPhone is a thing. That's just completely insane. Here I am being an LSU fan. We had like a 5 or 6 or 7 year stretch where we didn't beat Alabama. I can't imagine what it's like being a Tennessee fan with Tennessee being one of your biggest rivals and not beating them in like almost 2 decades. I can't fathom it. And Knoxville is going to go insane this Saturday. They aren't going to sleep until the following Tuesday. Nobody's going to work Monday or Tuesday in Knoxville after they get this win. I'm going Tennessee to cover and to win outright this weekend against Alabama, whether they have Bryce Young or not. I'm picking Tennessee to win. Right.
Question. Do you think that this should be the primetime game this week on CBS or what?
Oh, absolutely. It definitely should have been the primetime game. Are you crazy?
You're not feeling but it. You know what? 11 o'clock kick?
But you know what? Hey, why don't you shut your mouth? You know what? Like, this is why CBS, you don't decide when your primetime game is in the freaking like June or May of the off season. Like, how about you wait until the season actually starts for you to decide when you want your doubleheader to be? That way you can actually pick like a like season defining type game instead of a maybe it's an upset type thing. Like, don't Mason.
I know I could press your button real quick and get you off on a little rant.
Listen, I don't need help on obviously. I don't need the help. Hey, listen, I'm just kind of looking forward to the podcast next week when I'm going to get to hear probably some ranting and raving and maybe some tears after Bama gets beat by Tennessee this weekend. So I'm kind of looking forward to
see.
Hey, maybe Courtney, I love you. Tears. I love you, Courtney.
Get that out of here. Come on, Courtney.
I know you'll probably hate me, but it's fine. It's fine. All right, let's go to the next one. Oklahoma State going on the road to TCU. TCU is a 4-point favorite. Both teams look really good. Both teams undefeated. A lot of people slept on TCU, us included. They look really good right now. They're hosting Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State looks pretty good. This will be a good matchup and you know, big consequences for the Big 12. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I really like Oklahoma State this year. I feel like they've taken a leap from where they've been in the past couple of years. Like, it almost just seems like they've never really been able to get over the hump. Like, they played in the Big 12 championship game last year. They kind of fumbled the bag and didn't get over the hump. And it feels like this year they have learned from some of their past mistakes. And it really feels like they're getting it going right now. And so for that reason, I'm taking Oklahoma State.
Going Oklahoma State. Yeah, I feel you, man. I really like Oklahoma State too. And listen, talking about big games, Oklahoma State wins this week. And so does Texas. You got Oklahoma State, Texas next week.
That's going to be really fun.
A big game. I'm going Okie State too. Going Okie Light. I think they'll take care of business against TCU, and I think they get it done. So let's go on to the next one. NC State going on the road to Syracuse. Syracuse is actually a 3-point favorite. I was surprised by Syracuse, a 3-point home favorite. What are your thoughts on NC State and Syracuse?
Yeah, I mean, it was like you were saying earlier, like NC State just hasn't been uber impressive. I feel like this is kind of going to be one of Syracuse's biggest games of the year. So I feel like they're going to be really hyped up for it. So I'm going to go with Syracuse.
Okay, I see that. Again, I'm not super big on NC State, but I think they're better than Syracuse. Syracuse has escaped a couple of games against not great competition so far this year. Their offense, again, it's an air raid offense, so you kind of think high-powered, tons of offense, tons of points. They really don't do a lot of that. They have a really good running back and transfer quarterback. I like NC State better than Syracuse. I think NC State's defense is better, and I think they'll get it done offensively. I think they go on the road, and I think they beat Syracuse this week. All right, next game that we've had scheduled whenever we were doing preview, Arkansas going on the road to BYU. If you're an Arkansas fan, you're thinking this week, why in the heck do we schedule this game in the middle of the season? You're going to BYU, going to Utah for this game in elevation after you're all beat up. I think I read that KJ Jefferson is probably going to play, so you at least have him back. But still, you're beat up, you're reeling three straight losses, and then you're going on the road to play a really good BYU team that took Notre Dame down to the wire and beat Baylor and played some other good teams. What are you thinking if you're Arkansas? But this is a tough matchup. What are you thinking? Arkansas is a 1.5 road favorite against BYU. What are your thoughts?
So this game is essentially just a pick 'em, and I just hate the idea of Arkansas losing to BYU. Like, that just, it feels so gross to think about. You're getting KJ Jefferson back. I have to stick with Arkansas. I don't know. I can't bring myself to pick BYU to beat Arkansas. Even though Arkansas has looked like hot garbage, I just can't do it.
Well, I can, because BYU is going to win this game. Arkansas's defense is not very good. BYU finally has their top two receivers back. They have a pretty good running game. Their defense is pretty good. I like BYU way more than I like Arkansas. I mean, KJ might still be back, but like you said, dude, can't hit a broadside of a barn, man. Like, yeah. I just don't believe it. I just don't believe in the Arkin frauds this year. So I'm going BYU to win at home. And Arkansas going four straight losses. Four straight losses, Mason.
Gross. 10-2. So gross.
It's not looking good. All right. This is another one of those games with the lines where I'm like, okay, what does Vegas know that we don't? Because I was kind of surprised at the line. Clemson going on the road to Tallahassee playing Florida State. This is going to be a big game for Florida State. I mean, they lost the past two games and kind of a heartbreaker fashion against NC State last week. And then got beat by 10 by Wake Forest the week before. I think they're really looking forward to this game. This is a real litmus test for where they're at against Clemson. Clemson's only a 3.5-point favorite. I thought this would be higher, and I was going to pick Florida State if it was a lot higher. still might, but before I do my pick, Mason, what are you thinking on this one? Clemson on the road at Florida State.
Yeah, I was a little surprised too. I was expecting it to come out at like 5 or 6 maybe. But I've got DJ as my fantasy quarterback this week, so I got to ride with Clemson this week. I like what they've been doing. They've really kind of – I don't want to say they've made up for what happened last year just because they still had – they were, what, 10-2? So I like what they're doing. I still think Clemson's kind of the top dog in the ACC, and 3 points feels a little low, or 3.5 feels a little low to Florida State, so I'm going to go with Clemson.
Yeah, I mean, I feel you. I mean, I was even expecting this line to be even higher than what you thought. I thought this would be anywhere from 7-10.
Really?
As a line there, just because I know Vegas loves Clemson. I know everybody else loves Clemson. And so I was going to be like, hey, this is easy Florida State pick. Now with it being so low at 3.5, I got to think. I mean, here's the thing about these two teams. Florida State is the top in the ACC and the top in their conference with runs per carry. So that's pretty good. I think they're at like 5.5 or something like that. They're really good against the pass. They have really good pass defense, and they're one of the best in the nation at chunk plays of 20 yards or more. They have like 45 plays of 20 yards or more on their offense. with all that and with them, like, this is going to be their Super Bowl this year, with them being at home, I'm actually going to ride Florida State. I honestly think that there's going to be an upset. There's got to be an upset every week. I think this is the upset this week. I think Florida State can pull it off against Clemson. Clemson's had some rough games, some tough games recently. I mean, so has Florida State, but Clemson going on the road to Wake Forest, going down the line, playing NC State at home, going on the road to Boston College, and then you're finishing that up with on the road to a good Florida State team. It's going to catch up to you. You're going to not play your best game, and I think this is going to be that week that they'll take a dive here and possibly drop one. So I'm going to Florida State on this one. All right, we got three more left here. Mississippi State going on the road to Kentucky. Mississippi State is just on a roll right now, dude, and Kentucky isn't. Mississippi State is a 7-point favorite on the road in Lexington. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, Mississippi State's offense has been popping off lately. So seven's a kind of high number, but I still think they cover that. So I go Mississippi State.
I do too. Kentucky just can't really block. They have really trouble blocking, especially in pass protection. I don't know if Will Levis is playing. If he's not, it's an easy pick, Mississippi State. Even if he is playing, I think it is too. And Mississippi State's just way better than Ole Miss, I think, too. So I'm going Mississippi State. I think they easily win this game, just like they easily won the past two. Next, we're going to my game. LSU going on the road to Florida. Florida is a 2.5-point favorite. Makes sense. They're the home team. Both teams are pretty similar when you look at them. What are your thoughts on LSU at Florida?
My thing is, for this week, I feel like LSU is going to come out with a different type of fire than they did last week. I feel like they don't want to get embarrassed again. I don't think Florida's offense can put up the same numbers that Tennessee's offense did, obviously. But taking such a bad loss last week, I feel like it's going to kind of light a fire under them. So I would go LSU with this.
You're going LSU. I'm going LSU too. And here's kind of the main reason I am, is because Jaden Daniels takes care of the football. And so far, Anthony Richardson just hasn't. Anthony Richardson has 7 interceptions. Jaden Daniels only has 1. Now you can kind of throw that too. Well, Jaden isn't actually willing to throw the ball. I mean, that's all fair to say. But I really like LSU's defense, and I really like LSU's wide receivers. I think LSU's offense just is going to take care of the ball. So that's really the only reason. It is in a tough environment. LSU's won 3 in a row in the series. It's going to be a really good game no matter what. And so I'm really looking forward to it, and hopefully the Tigers pull it out. But I'm going LSU as well to win.
Are we going to get another shoe toss game?
Hey, maybe we'll get another shoe toss in the fog, and maybe a nice 56-yarder in the fog. That'd be awesome. All right, last game that we have on here, USC going on the road to Utah. Utah is actually a 3.5-point home favorite in this one, Mason. We're going to find out a lot of – I mean, this is the week we're finding a lot out about some of our top 10 teams, this one included with USC. What do you think on USC at Utah? Utah's going to be desperate after they lost last week to UCLA. It's a must-win for them to have any aspirations in the Pac-12. So, thoughts?
Yeah, this is gross. You never love seeing a top 10 team going to another stadium and still being a 3-point dog. Never feels good. I'm still just going to go with USC. I don't have any reason to do it. I'm just going to go with them for no reason at all.
Just going with it, hoping and praying here.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm right there with you, man. It is always weird. Hey, you got a top 10 team. They're going on the road and they're a 3-point dog. That never really makes you sit well with yourself. And you
see it never that. Feels great.
And you know what? Vegas is undefeated for a reason. I'm going with Utah on this one. Utah is a really, really hard place to play. And they're going to be desperate. We'll see how good USC really is. They haven't turned the ball over. I think Utah's defense could make them force some turnovers. And, man, they're at home. They're always tough. So I'm going to go Utah. I think they upset USC here. Well, it's not really an upset. It's an upset to us because we think USC is better. But yeah. In the Vegas odds, they will win as the favorite with the 3.5 is what I'm going with. So that's it for our picks. I do kind of want to have a little bit more of a discussion real quick about Alabama-Tennessee. It's the biggest game this week by far out of all of them. It's in our rankings. It's a top 4 matchup. So one thing, again, I want to give a little bit more reason why I'm picking Tennessee, and it's because of their defense. And I know probably a lot of you are probably shocked on that. But just listen to me, everybody who thinks Tennessee thinks, oh, their pass offense is horrible. They have one of the best rush defenses in the SEC. and one of the best stuff rates in the nation. And if anybody doesn't know what stuff rates is, that is tackling the player at the line of scrimmage or behind it. I think they're like seventh in the nation in stuff rate. And so you're going against a Bama team that, even if Bryce is playing, he's probably not 100%, so they're going to probably try and lean on that running game. And you're also going to want to try and limit the position. I mean, I know you're Bama. You want to score tons of points. It's been you, but you also don't want to give Tennessee a ton of opportunities. So, like, you're going to want to try and shorten the game and try not to give as many possessions to Tennessee. And I think that plays right into their defense's hands. And so that's one of the main reasons why I'm picking them. And I was just super impressed with them this week. So just want to talk a little bit there. Do you have any other comments besides Bama by 100? on this game?
I mean, my question is, does their safety getting arrested worry you at all?
It is kind of a big deal. That is kind of a big deal. I don't know. I like Tennessee's offense. I think they'll get enough stops on defense. I don't think it matters. But
yeah, I agree. Like, Tennessee definitely has a scary offense, but I just like, I think Bryce Young's going to play. So that's kind of why I'm leaning towards Alabama by 100. If you're telling me Bryce Young is playing,
Bryce isn't playing, what's your pick?
I'm worried at that point. I would still say Alabama wins, but they definitely don't cover. It's going to be another Texas A&M game. But the thing is like Will Anderson and Dallas Turner, they've just been balling out lately. So when you're playing a team that throws as much as Tennessee, like Will Anderson and those guys, like they're going to make an impact at some point. And I think that, like, bringing that into the equation, like, I still think that Alabama can win without Bryce Young. It's just going to be a lot harder. And I don't feel as good about it. I will definitely be nervous and probably have to down a couple beers before the game starts to get myself feel better.
Do you want me to text you throughout the game, Mason? Because no, I can do that.
Please don't. I probably have my phone turned off.
Because I can do that. I can, you know what? I can just make you feel so good. It's like, oh, hey, Mason, did you see that play?
You might get blocked if you do that.
Yeah, you might not do the podcast with me anymore if I do that. So I might think better than to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So one more quick thing. Before we get out of here, give me your favorite to win the Heisman, one player. Who's winning the Heisman? We're 6 weeks in, halfway through the season. Who wins it?
CJ Stroud. Oh, man. It's his to lose. Yeah, it's his to lose.
It seems like it's his to lose, but dude, I'm picking Tennessee. Hendon Hooker winning the Heisman. I'm calling it right now. If they win this week and beat Georgia, it's automatic. Don't care what CJ Stroud does.
I don't know. I wouldn't say automatic. I don't see CJ Stroud losing it at all. The way he's been playing is just insane. The numbers that their offense puts up is just it's crazy. Even if Tennessee does beat Alabama and they do beat Georgia, Hendon Hooker's numbers probably won't even still be close to CJ.
Listen, the numbers might be the same, but Hendon Hooker's going to have the Heisman moments you got to have Bama and Georgia. And then in the SEC championship game, beating Bama again. So you know what? Everybody wins, right? No, I'm just playing. Well, but so that's all we got, guys. Thank you so much. It's been a long one, but listen, it seems like you guys like listening to him. So we'll keep going. Hey, maybe keep an eye out. There might be something coming up on YouTube from us here shortly. So keep an eye out for that. It's been fun. Mason, glad to have you back, man. It was real lonely last week doing it by myself. So I'm glad you're here. Glad you're with us. And any final word to the people before we head out?
NBA starts in a week, Cam. I just got to make it one more week.
One more week. Hey, we might also have a surprise NBA preview podcast coming out. So keep an eye out for that. Well, guys, thank you so much. We appreciate you. Go ahead, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and soon to be on YouTube. All that stuff will be in the description in the podcast on Spotify or wherever you're listening to us. Go follow us on those. And until we're back again next week, have a good one. And we'll see you after week 7 of college football.